Again, welcome. I hope you had a good week. We've been on a journey for several weeks. For a few weeks, we had the lesson to listen. Listen to what the Word of God would say. Listen to what Christ has to say. And what are we supposed to do? Do it. That's it. You got it. We have to be reminded and practice that. And then after we had that part for a few weeks, we got to the part where we needed really to re-examine ourselves. In this Lent time, it was an opportunity for us to really look that we hadn't got complacent or got into a part where it was a ritual, kind of like when we get out of bed, it's the same side, you put your pants on, whatever, you put the same leg in a hole. They wanted you to think a little bit again about your life, what Christ has done for you, and that precious salvation, the cost of it, and if there was anything hindering you between your fellowship with God, it wasn't about other people, it was about you and God. And some of you admitted that something had to change, and you made that commitment again. And as human beings, sometimes we have to do that daily, monthly, sometimes it's a season. It's examining ourselves and saying, am I close to God? Am I closer today than I was yesterday? If I look at last year, am I closer to God this year than I was last year? And if there's something in the way, let me get it right with Him. He already knows me. Knows what I'm thinking, knows what I'm doing. He already knows. And then, yeah, last week we had an opportunity to remember no matter what we're going in life, we need to make sure we go what? Go back home. Where's the source of what I need? The source is God Himself. We saw a Father that had all that the sons needed. And we said, our Father God has all that we might need. And sometimes we got to go back home. So if we look at the path, it's natural now that in our spiritual self, we should already be in tune to God's Word. We should have already repented of any sin in our lives. And now we know our source, so we want to commune with Him and be with Him. And that leads us to what we call worship. The Old Testament said that his people were created to do what? You can cheat and go back. It said to what? Starts with a P. Praise Him. Thank you. Somebody said it. He wanted His creation that He would praise Him. And when you get to worship, worship is about not me. It's about Him. And the work He's done, and to praise Him for the work He's done, to praise Him for the things that have come in my life, that He's been there all the time, that He is my source. And so we get to this story. First of all, we see Jesus is now only a week away. A week away before one time He's led, and we'll talk about Palm Sunday, but He's also led to the cross. He goes to the cross for you and for me to take care of our sins that we might be able to have God's presence, that we can come there because God's a holy God. And God wants to see us as holy, and that's because He sees us in His Son. If you've accepted the work of the cross, that's how God looks at you now. Isn't that a blessing? Praise Him. Amen. You can be a little bit of a Pentecostal son if you want. You can praise Him. Okay? That's what we need to be doing. As in Jesus decides that He's going to see some dear friends. Lazarus. You know who Lazarus was? Everybody else did. In fact, the town became a town that was known because of him. That's Lazarus, the one that what? Was raised from the... That doesn't happen every day, folks. Okay? They had grave clothes on, remember? Somebody said if he comes out, he what? Stinketh. He's been dead for a long time. That's when everybody knew. And if you read, this isn't accounted in the other Gospels, get a real picture. Don't just look at John, look at the other ones, and you'll see that people were flocking to that place because they wanted to see Lazarus, this one that was raised from the dead. That's pretty exciting. If you're traveling and you're going and you're close, and still today, if you travel and you go to that city, it's known as the place where Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, lived. Still today. Now, this isn't in Lazarus' house. It seems like it might be, but if you read the other scriptures, it's in a place of a man called Simeon. It's in his house. Simeon was a leper. Well, he certainly couldn't have leprosy then, right? Or wouldn't be going to the house, right? So something must have happened, and he must have been cured of his leprosy. So at his house, he's got these folks there. So now that's a pretty miraculous house. You've got somebody who was raised from the dead, and you got somebody who was cured from an incurable disease. And then you got Jesus there too. Pretty outstanding, huh? Then you have ladies that are mentioned. You have Martha. Martha, before in Scripture, it was taught that she would serve, and there was a part where when she was serving, she got a little upset, remember? I'm doing all the work. I don't have any help. What is this? But something's changed in her life this time. She's serving with no complaining. She's glad to serve. She had another house, and she's serving. And then we have Mary. Mary had been saving a precious ointment, an oil. And you can probably get it today or something like it, probably a lot cheaper than they could. I mean, they're talking about, you know, Judas tells us that what is a year's wages, right? And here, I was doing some study years ago in Bible times. To get that ointment, it has to come from either India or China. But where it grew, they had asp in the area. You know what those are? Yeah, snakes. Very poisonous snakes. So it took a little bit of ingenuity and grace or whatever to be able to get that oil and those plants. And probably what kept the price high. Plus, it was being shipped in from other areas. And it was usually used for burial, because they didn't have embalming in those days. So it would be used for that. It's interesting, out of those three people, you can look at your Christian life and you should have a little bit of each of their character, right? We look at Lazarus, and Lazarus would have been that one that he is somebody who's a witness for Christ. No matter where he goes, everybody knows that's Lazarus who was raised from the dead. When you go in the community, or you go to work, or you go to other people, families, or travel, those that know you well, do they know what you stand for God? Are you a witness? You should be, right? They should know that you're a witness. We know pastors got the title of pastor. He's a witness for God. And that's how everyone is. So a little piece of Lazarus ought to be with all of us, that we ought to be standing for something. And if you really look at it hard, we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. We had earned a wage, according to Romans, that we have all what? Sinned. And the earning of wages for having sin is death. And so, like Lazarus, in a way, we have been dead and we are resurrected and living because of what Christ has done for us. You're a witness. Martha was known as what? I gave you a hint of her activity. What was she doing? Serving. And when you're a believer and you're a witness for Christ, James tells us that there ought to be an outworking of your faith, which means there ought to be what? Something coming out of you. Some kind of work. And in that work, we call that service. What are we doing for God's people. What are we doing, as this church does, for the community? What are we doing to reach the lost? What are we doing to help bond this body of Christ? It's called service. So we're a witness, and we're serving. And then we should all become like Mary and what? Don't do what I did and fall at the knee at the altar. You know, that's a good thing to kneel at the altar, but not necessarily when you fall at it. But it ought to be that we would all be on our knee and worship. Might sound difficult, but worship costs something. What have you, as you came today, maybe some of you, it was very hard to even get here today. I used to be amazed at some of the ladies that would come and sit in the back, and they would be in the wheelchairs or have walkers or have trouble. But guess what they made sure they did? They came to the church. It wasn't easy to get up. I'm sure Pastor's been recovering. I know a little bit about what some of the things she might have gone through, but it's not always easy. And there may be pain involved. Maybe some of you get ridiculed because you left your home and others wouldn't come and they see what you do, but you came with the multiple purpose to worship. We come to take the bread and the wine. And the attitude of our heart ought to be that of worship. I have met people in the church, and the main reason they come is to have communion with the Lord. Not to hear the message and maybe not to see one another, but they come and their heart is in tune to worship. When we enjoy music and we sit and contemplate in the beauty of the music, if there's words, we might look at the words. If it's just the music in itself, we might relax and let the Spirit deal with us. And we can worship in music. There's a lot of different ways to worship. An interesting thing, if we had time, we could go around and say, when and what age and when and where did you meet the Savior? Mine was through art. What about yours? There's a lot of different ways to meet the Savior. And to worship is a heart thing. It costs something. Here, Mary, it cost her a year's wages that she had saved up, a special oil, and she uses it to anoint Jesus' feet. And notice there's nothing in that part of Scripture that says she says anything. Do you see a word or anything that she mentions? It's a simple act and an inward thing between her and God. And that's what God's been looking for, and that's why we have this Lent time, is to make sure that in our spirit that we are ready for worship. This year has been great. Great for me to be here and go through some of these lessons with you, but I want you to enjoy the walk through and that you get closer and closer to the Savior. It's time to enjoy and worship and to thank Him for all that's been done. Someone else is on the scene too, Judas. Now, if you read some of them, you'll find that Judas, in his way, and he had been with Jesus, seen who Jesus was, seen the miracles, but he refused to believe. And the first thing you can tell by his own spirit of things, he looks at the value of the oil and says, how wasteful. You know, if you were looking at things in regards to your worship, some people would say, what is the value of your time and your energy? What's the value? And he looked at it. He knew exactly what that oil was worth. Isn't that interesting? Oh, it's a year's worth of wages. And it tells you why. He wanted that money. He didn't want it for the poor, did he? No, his motivation was, you put it in there, and guess what? I'll be taking some out. The more you put in, nobody will notice. And who cares if they do? I'll just take some for myself. It's interesting because he was willing at that time to take about a year's wages and use them for himself later on in a short period of time. In this time, he leaves. He gets mad at Jesus' response and he leaves. You know where he goes? Because some people are looking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus to do what? Worship him? No, kill him. It says that they even were coming to the house and they wanted to find Lazarus that they might also do what? Kill him too. Kill the witness. And here he leaves and he goes and he finds the people that are looking for Jesus. And he tells them, I can tell you where he is and tell you who he is. And he makes a deal for how much? 30 pieces of silver, maybe 3 or 4 months worth of wages. He didn't really care, did he? He was just looking in it for himself. It says in this time that he was so vile that instead of opening up himself to Christ, he opened up himself for the devil, and the devil entered him in that response. That's kind of interesting. Because a big difference between Satan and God, you know. The devil can't be everywhere. But he chose at that time to be with inside, really, Judas as he was going through. Amazing thing. It's interesting that Mary, when she was worshiping and giving the oil, she wiped Jesus' feet with what? Her hair. It was known at that time that was a lady's glory. She gave up her glory to wash Jesus' feet that she might glorify him. In a short period of time, you're going to have an opportunity to break bread and take of the cup, symbolizing his body and his blood, to remind you that salvation is for all. And if you come, he even tells us in Corinthians that you ought to do what? Examine yourself. Have you come to worship the King of kings and Lord of lords? That's the progression of where we are as we look at this one who would leave the throne room of heaven to come and die for you and for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this body of Christ, and it is our desire that we be a witness for you in all that we do and say and the activities that we have, that this church would always be known for living and sharing the love of Christ. We ask that you help us in our service to one another, to encourage. And may we even start today, that as we leave this place and see a brother or sister in Christ, that we might give encouragement, that we might put them on our prayer list, we might be able to meet a need. And then, Lord, our whole heart's desire is that you know, as you created us, that we ought to be praising you, loving you. May it cost us our time, our energy, our resources, and may we quietly reflect and spend time in worship for you. And as we partake of the emblems today, may they have a little more meaning as we turn our hearts closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.